Today on Real Life Radio.
We look around the world and the world is committing suicide. The world is drinking itself into oblivion. The world is depressed. The world is pursuing all kinds of external things to try to find meaning. And yet God's Bible, God's word says that there's hope in God, that God in fact is the very God of hope.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter what. And one way we can help is through our website. At jackhibbs.com/realradio, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live streamed events, and so much more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. And today's message is called The Christian Life, Part 2. The Apostle Peter was one of the 12 disciples of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter often failed the Lord, but he learned that through Christ, he can have joy even in the midst of failure. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that we can please the Lord with faith, a faith not based on ignorance, but understanding the high cost that Jesus paid to save us. Now, with his message called The Christian Life, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When the Bible talks about a sword, it's talking about the Greek word makaira. It's a sword where it's sharp on both ends, both sides. It cuts one way, and the word of God implies that the Bible cuts one way and then heals the other. That God's word is able to go down into the very thoughts and the intentions of our hearts, our motives. And it begins to parse out into divide. God's word is alive. It is that powerful. It's what it does. The word of God is not of this world. I love that. It came down from heaven, given first of all, of course, by God, by revelation, of course, through Adam and Eve and ministering and working with them and dealing with them. And then the Bible tells us that God was moving in the earth. The Bible tells us that he sent his prophets. And ultimately, God gave us his revealed word. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit birthed or breathed out through people, through men. Imagine that. Through human instruments, God the Holy Spirit, possessing a human being, spoke the word of God. And we have this known as the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, God's revealed word. And I love that. You might be here today saying, well, that's your opinion. First of all, it's not my opinion. But the second thing is, which ought to be the first thing, is put God's word to the test and see if it's true or not. God's word almost yells at you to examine it. Try to shoot holes in it. Try to see if it contradicts anything that God has wrought or spoken in the earth. Does it somehow contradict itself? The Bible says, come and check and see. It's awesome, the word of God. And out of it, we're looking at some key things regarding the Christian life. Peter, in verses 17 to 21, is speaking to us about some key things. And one of those is, last week we saw that it's about hope. We saw that the Christian life is anchored because of the future, and it's all about hope. The believer, the Christian, has an amazing hope that you and I do not need to despair. We do not need to grow weary. We do not need to entertain the demonic temptations to give up on this life. We look around the world and the world is committing suicide. The world is drinking itself into oblivion. The world is depressed. The world is pursuing all kinds of external things to try to find meaning. And yet, God's Bible, God's word says that there's hope in God, that God, in fact, is the very God of hope. We saw that three ways. Verse 17, in all three of these things, we saw that our hope is settled with the access that we have to God by Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that he is our Father and we're to call upon him. We saw also that our hope rests upon the goodness of God, that God is good. We talked about some of the biblical, and I added the extra biblical evidence of God's truth, not only what the word of God says to you, the beautiful promises and the instruction from God's word, but how nature itself speaks about the very goodness of God. And then finally, in verse 17, we saw that our hope awaits the outcome. The Bible says that we are to conduct ourselves throughout our time in this world, our stay. Remember what that word means? It means that we're just passing through. I like to be reminded of that as a Christian. We're just passing through here. This world is not our home, that we're to do so in fear. And before we leave off and get into where we left off in our study last time, I want to come back and visit that word fear. Can you mark it if you missed it? If you weren't here, circle the word fear. It is the Greek word phobos. Phobos is that word. Now listen carefully. Phobos is the word that would mean, for example, do you have a phobia of fill in the blank? Do you have a phobia of heights? Do you have a phobia of bugs? Do you have a phobia of people? Whatever it is, crowds. That is a negative feeling. It's crushing. It chokes you. And I don't know if you know what your particular phobia is in life. I think it's safe to say, I'm going to venture out here on this one. I think we all have some kind of a phobia or more. Would you agree with that? Whatever it might be, it's probably as diverse as the amount of people in this room right now. Some people have a few, some people have a lot. And then it's funny, we're mean. You know, we're mean as people. For example, I'll just pick on me. I do not have the phobia of heights. I love heights. I love getting right to the edge of something. By the way, have you been to the U.S. Bank in downtown Los Angeles? Have you been to that? You can go to that bank and go to the top floor up there, and you can go on that plexiglass slide that goes outside over the city. And I don't know how many hundreds of feet that you're up above the ground, but that's awesome. Did you know that you can go to the Grand Canyon and there's that plexiglass walkway that you can walk out over the Grand Canyon with nothing beneath you but plexiglass and a 4,000-foot drop? I just love that feeling. But I have a phobia of bungee jumping. I love the heights, but I don't like the fall. Listen, we just talked about it last night at my house. My granddaughter loves Pirates of the Caribbean. You know that little dip it has? It has a little dip. I don't like it. I don't like it. I never did roller coasters. I don't like them. But when you have grandkids and your grandkids say, Papa, will you take this ride with me? Do you know what you say? You say yes. And oh, it's just like, God, please have mercy on me. Help me, oh God. And you know, it's just, I'm trying to keep from wimping out. Why? Because there's phobias that we have. And we have a tendency to flaunt in the face of people things that are not our phobias. Oh, come on, what are you, chicken? The word phobia here regarding God is the exact opposite, church. It's not to tremble at the thought or at the fact that we're going to see God. He's speaking as God the Father to his children. And the word phobos or phobia is to have a reverential awe of God for this reason. Listen, it is the pure basis for what drives our lifestyle as Christians. Listen carefully. The fear that we're to have during this lifetime stay as a believer in this world where we are the aliens means this, that we are to have a phobia about displeasing our Heavenly Father by our life's conduct. You and I are to be concerned tremendously about how we live our lives so we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. This is a healthy, healthy fear. You want this fear, Christian. Just like a child does not want to disappoint their father or their mother. It's exactly like that, but magnified for the life of the believer. Listen, ladies, forget you're here right now. When I speak to men, and the issue comes up often, and they'll have me speak on it regarding pornography, and I tell men all around the nation, if not beyond in the world, I'll tell men this. You can go to every course, every class. You can read every book that's going to help you through this. You can do a 12-step program, but I like flying direct. Go straight to God, one step. And here it is, gentlemen. And by the way, if it applies to 37% of women today, listen, do this. Determine now in your life to love God more than anything else, more than pornography, more than money. Decide, believer, that you love God most above all things. By the way, you want to have a good marriage? Love God more than your husband. Love God more than your wife, and you'll have a great marriage. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. So listen, we could coach you on how to avoid porn. It's not going to work. What will work is an absolute affection in your heart for God. And that is what's going to keep you healthy and pure in this life. You will say no, you'll walk away from any temptation because you love God more. And we need to hear that today more than ever. Listen to this. I love what Dr. Wayne Grudem has to write. The phobos here used by the Holy Spirit in the authorship of the doctrine of personal holiness and sanctification describes the type of fear that is native to those who love God and desire nothing more than to please God. This healthy and divinely originated fear arises from the fact that the Christian is painfully aware that his daily living, what's the word there? Can hardly read it. Possesses the threat of a sinful thought or act. Isn't that true? You know you're going to sin. We don't plan on it, but you wake up in the morning concerned, Lord, don't let me fall today. Don't let me sin against you today. This fear is like, but greater than, the fear a child has against offending or disappointing their earthly father. That's a great statement. That should be the motive, is your love for God. So no longer fear the word fear when it says fear the Lord. Embrace the love of God and walk in that, and your fear becomes, Lord, I don't want to disappoint you today.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Church, we pick it up. Our second argument now is in verses 18 to 19, and it is faith. The Christian life is anchored because the past is all about your faith. And we just started this, but we begin now again. Look at verse 18 at the opening part. We see that faith is knowing the method. Remember that? Knowing. Circle the word knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. And the word knowing is that great word of knowing something being revealed by great importance. It's been revealed to you that you have knowledge of something that is of great value. You're to know this. God is saying to you, dear Christian, I love you so much. Listen, your life, your future hope, and your faith dealing with your past, God says, I'm here to walk you through that. I'm here to bring you all the way through. And it begins with this, knowing the fact that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Silver and gold, according to God, are corruptible things. I love that. You're to be knowing this, the method of God's working. He redeemed us. Church, his great work is the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, that he bought us out of the slave market of sin, that you and I, listen, we were chained. The word redeemed is that word that we studied before, and it means that God, watch this, God saw you in the slave market. Now, it's hard for you and I to imagine what a slave market might look like. Tragically, there's areas still in operation today. It doesn't make the press. You can go look at it online. But did you know there's a slave market that is still active in parts of North Africa today? Did you know that there's areas in India where the slave market trade is active? Now, when I mentioned the word trade or slave, you now begin, might have popped in your mind, the sex slave industry. That is something that is going on in the world. That is something that is going on in probably every community in America. By the way, we're entertaining and we're being trained right now to some degree. I'm being informed, I should say, about how we can host a class here on how you can identify in your own community, on your own street, someone who is being held or being manipulated by the slave market. Did you know it's that prevalent in America? It's huge. How much do you know about it? Not much. But in India and in North Africa, the slave world is very brutal. Some people are kept in cages and you buy them. You actually buy them. There's children that you can buy in parts of the world. You say, I don't want to know that. You have to know that because the word used here for you being redeemed is the word that God, listen, God, as it were, walked down the street and he saw the vendors selling people. And for you, because Christ is your personal Savior, Jesus is your Lord, he saw you. And you were chained. You were chained to what? And I always pick on the extremes. Maybe I shouldn't. Forget about all the extremes. You were chained, how about this, to trying to please your mom or your dad or your brothers or your sisters. Or you were chained to the fear of man, to whereby you were trying to make everybody like you. And that comes, of course, from deep insecurity. Deep insecurity comes from great hurt, great scars of the soul and of the mind. And you've been enslaved to try to have people like you. And so it's important to you. This whole world that you and I live in is so geared to that, I don't need to get into it. Jesus looks at you and he sees you bound to your cocaine or bound to your drugs or bound to your lust, and he reached in. According to the Bible, he reached in and redeemed you out of the world. And by the way, the scripture says, he decided on doing that before the world was ever created, which is awesome. Notice this. He didn't engineer your slavery. That's something that you got together with in this world and you embarked upon either willingly or unwillingly. It doesn't matter. You were sold into it. But God knew from eternity past that you would be bound by it. And he himself sovereignly would reach in and pull you out of your personal culture, your personal world, the world that you lived in, good, bad, or ugly. He reached in and he called you out of it. And this is beautiful because the word not only means that he bought you. He didn't buy you to enslave you. Listen, he bought you to set you free by him being the master. I've told you guys before, but I love telling the story. It doesn't get any press. Our founding fathers are getting black eyes in the liberal universities and colleges today. You know what? I don't endorse any college or university now anymore. I can't. They're just a bastion of making progressive people that are graduating with a degree unable to compete with the rest of the world. Instead, they're producing people that are skilled in Marxism or socialism and a communistic worldview. And they've told our kids that George Washington was a wicked means slave owner, yet they never mention William Billy Lee, Washington's aide, a black man who Washington loved dearly, who at his death, Washington set free. It was written in his will and gave him half his wealth. Thomas Jefferson. There's a lot of news about Thomas Jefferson. But did you know Thomas Jefferson, against the order of the King of England, King George III, Thomas Jefferson demanded that against the crown of England, that all of his slaves be educated and learn how to read. Did you know that? And he taught them so fairly and so kindly, but you don't know that. Of course there were slave abuses and it's a wicked thing. But we hear a lopsided story. In a perfect way, Jesus Christ buys you out of the slave market, wraps you up in his arms and says, listen, I know all about the life you've lived and all that's been done to you. And I've purchased you with my own blood. I turn you loose. Listen, I turn you loose. And in that moment is the Greek word employed, doulos, or douloi, doulos. What does that mean? It means the slave that is set free by the one who purchased him out of slavery. Turns right around and says, no way. I am never gonna leave you. My life is forever indebted to you for having bought me out and bought me my freedom. And so I hereby will my will to you to love you all the days of my life. Doulos. And that's the word that the Christian life is described as. Does that describe your life? Have you been brought out of a world that you say, thank God for delivering me that world and Lord, I yield to you completely. Then listen, then you're a Christian. That's what it means to follow Christ. Secondly, verse 18, he said that it's all about direction. Faith is knowing the direction. Now we have a new path. You and I are so excited and desirous of eternity. We have a new direction. It says that he delivered us from our aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Now, technically, church, let's be true to the text. Verse 18 here is announcing that you aimlessly followed religious practices, not knowing what they were about. They were given to you by your fathers, and they didn't do anything for you. Traditions are beautiful, but they can't save you. He's saying you did all these things dutifully, but you didn't know what you're doing. He says God's delivered you from that in Jesus. You have a new direction. Before I move on to the closing part or the next part of verse 19, I don't want to violate any confidentiality. But in the very early hours of Saturday morning, I received a phone call, and quickly, I think within 15 minutes, I was at the hospital. And this was a precious saint of this church, tremendous brother, a father figure to me. And I'm laughing now because he's okay right now. But here's the deal: he's in the hospital and it's great pain, and he wasn't saying, you know, my elbow hurts. He was saying, I want out of here. And I'm thinking, you just got here. I mean, the ambulance pulled up. I was standing there at the ER. I saw you. You've only been here for 3 minutes. Well, that's not what he meant. He said, I want to go see my wife. I don't want to be in this world anymore. I don't want to be here. I want out of here. Oh, now I understood what he meant. And he's laying there and he's wired up, and that bed was only wide enough for him. I wanted to get in next to him. Let's go. He made you want to get ready to go. He made you want to follow that direction. He wanted to go to heaven. Now, probably to his disappointment, he's recovered. But he loves the Lord and he wants to go to heaven. No longer aimless. You know, people that are aimless are terrified of death. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm terrified of the pain that leads up into the moment of death. I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of the needles and I'm afraid of the pain before all that stuff. Okay? But what a beautiful reminder. He was laying in that hospital bed and he was in great pain. And basically he was saying this: I'm not aimless. I'm not wandering. My soul knows exactly where it wants to go right now. But do you have that drive? Do you have that target set in your life? Faith is knowing the direction.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Christian Life, Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a great series. And it takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ really did carry him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So, Pastor Jack, I hear that you and Lisa have a devotional that you guys have been doing together. And, you know, finding solid devotional material, it can be difficult. There's a lot of them out there. But you guys really like this one, huh?
Yeah, listen, actually, we came across this almost by accident. And I have to tell you, I'm kind of bummed that I didn't share this sooner. Lisa and I love this devotion. It's titled, Now I See. And it's spelled like the ocean, S-E-A. Jenny Coate is a woman who grew up sailing. She grew up from the youngest age sailing boats. She loves the water. She loves the Lord. And so what she did was she wrote a devotion that's based around the theme of weather, storms, sunny days, sand, life. And Lisa and I have enjoyed this devotion for probably well over 2 years now, and we're just getting around to letting everybody know about it, Davey, but it is an awesome devotion. There's so many out there, but this is so unique. I think people will love it.
Now, I know that you and Lisa are going through it together, and is this a couple's devotional, or is it for anybody, single folks, married folks?
Yeah, anybody. It's not focused on any particular a gender, it's not married or singles. No. If you want to get closer to Jesus, period, this is a great devotion.
So the title, it's dramatic in its wording, but I think that helps. I love a great story, a great analogy, and it sounds like this book is full of that.
You know, it's amazing. I have to tell you, and I think somebody who's keen on reading or keen on communication will pick up really quickly. This woman's got an amazing gift of authorship, okay? And so that said, she had us at Now I See with the word S-E-A, because we love everything beach. And how many people find solace at the beach? How many people love to be comforted by the sun and by the sand and by the sound of the waves and all of that? This book will take you into that scenario like no other. She will unpack and reveal stories that are biblically based that you're going to walk away with a great, great, great comfort of the scriptures.
Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea by Jenny L. Coate. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.